He left the corpses of horse, man, and message to lie dead in the ash, slowly being buried, like forgotten tools.
Quellian actually placed his spike himself, as I understand it. The man was never entirely stable. His fervor for following Kelsier and killing the nobility was enhanced by ruin, but Quellian had already had the impulses. His passionate paranoia bordered on insanity at times, and ruin was able to prod him into placing that crucial spike. Quellian's spike was bronze, and he made it from one of the first allomancers he captured. That spike made him a seeker, which was one of the ways he was able to find and blackmail so many allomancers during his time as King of Urto. The point, however, is that people with unstable personalities were more susceptible to ruin's influence, even if they didn't have a spike in them. That, indeed, is likely how Zane got his spike.
70.
I still don't see what good this does, Yeoman said, walking beside Elend as they passed Fadrix's gate.
Elend ignored the comment, waving a greeting to a group of soldiers. He stopped beside another group, not his, but Yeoman's, and inspected their weapons. He gave them a few words of encouragement, then moved on. Yeoman watched quietly, walking at Elend's side as an equal, not a captured king. The two had an uneasy truce, but the field of Kolos outside was more than enough of a motivation to keep them working together. Elend had the larger army of the two, but not by much, and they were growing increasingly outnumbered as more and more Kolos arrived.
We should be working on the sanitation problem, Yeoman continued once they were out of the men's earshot. An army exists on two principles, health and food. Provide those two things and you will be victorious.
Elend smiled, recognizing the reference. Trentison's supplying in scale. A few years earlier, he would have agreed with Yeoman, and the two would probably have spent the afternoon discussing the philosophy of leadership in Yeoman's palace. However, Elend had learned things in the last few years that he simply hadn't been able to get from his studies. Unfortunately, that meant he really couldn't explain them to Yeoman, particularly not in the time they had. So instead, he nodded down the street.
We can move on to the infirmary now, if you wish, Lord Yeoman.
Yeoman nodded, and the two turned toward another section of the city. The obligator had a no-nonsense approach to just about everything. Problems should be dealt with quickly and directly. He had a good mind, despite his fondness for making snap judgments. As they walked, Elend was careful to keep an eye out for soldiers, on duty or off, in the streets. He nodded to their salutes, met their eyes. Many were working to repair the damages caused by the increasingly powerful earthquakes. Perhaps it was just in Ellen's mind, but it seemed that the soldiers walked a little taller after he passed. Yeoman frowned slightly as he watched Elend do this. The obligator still wore the robes of his station, despite the little bead of Atium at his brow that he used to mark his kingship. The tattoos on the man's forehead almost seemed to curl toward the bead, as if they had been designed with it in mind.
You don't know about leading soldiers, do you, Yeoman? Elend asked.
The obligator raised an eyebrow.
I know more than you ever will about tactics, supply lines, and the running of armies between distinct points.
Oh, Elend said lightly. So you've read Bennetson's Armies in Motion, have you?
The distinct points line was a dead giveaway. Yeoman's frown deepened.
One thing that we scholars tend to forget about, Yeoman, is the impact emotion can have on a battle. It isn't just about food, shoes, and clean water, necessary as those are. It's about hope, courage, and the will to live. The soldiers need to know that their leader will be in the fight, if not killing the enemies, then directing things personally from behind the lines. They can't think of him as an abstract force up on a tower somewhere, watching out a window and pondering the depths of the universe.
Yeoman fell silent as they walked through streets that, despite being cleaned of ash, had a forlorn cast to them. Most of the people had retreated to the back portions of the city, where the Koloss would go last if they broke through. They were camping outside, since buildings were unsafe in the quakes.
"You are an interesting man, Elend Venture," Yeoman finally said.
"I'm a bastard," Elend said. Yeoman raised an eyebrow. "In composition, not in temperament or by birth," Elend said with a smile. "I'm an amalgamation of what I've needed to be. Part scholar, part rebel, part nobleman, part mistborn, and part soldier. Sometimes I don't even know myself. I had a devil of a time getting all those pieces to work together. And just when I'm starting to get it figured out, the world up and ends on me. Ah, here we are."
Yeoman's infirmary was a converted ministry building, which, in Ellen's opinion, showed that Yeoman was willing to be flexible. His religious buildings weren't so sacred to him that he couldn't acknowledge that they were the best facilities for taking care of the sick and wounded. Inside, they found physicians tending those who had survived the initial clash with the Koloss. Yeoman bustled off to speak with the infirmary bureaucrats. Apparently he was worried about the number of infections that the men had suffered. Elend walked over to the section with the most serious cases and began visiting them, offering encouragement. It was tough work, looking at the soldiers who had suffered because of his foolishness. How could he have missed seeing that ruin could take the Koloss back? It made so much sense. And yet ruin had played its hand well. It had misled Elend, making him think that the Inquisitors were controlling the Koloss, making him feel the Koloss could be counted on. What would have happened, he thought, if I'd attacked this city with them as originally planned? Ruin would have ransacked Fadrix, slaughtering everyone inside, and then turned the Koloss on Elend's soldiers. Now the fortifications defended by Elend and Yeoman's men had given Ruin enough pause to make it build up its forces before attacking. "I have doomed this city," Elend thought, sitting beside the bed of a man who had lost his arm to a Koloss blade. It frustrated him. He knew he'd made the right decision, and in truth, he'd rather be inside the city, almost certainly doomed, than be outside, besieging it and winning. For he knew that the winning side wasn't always the right side. Still, it came back to his continuing frustration at his inability